Welcome to the Barbell Strikes Back. I'm James McDermott, and Jennifer Howell Clark is joining me today on the show. Jennifer is a member of the Albany CrossFit Barbell Club, and we're going to learn all about Jennifer and her journey in weightlifting today. Jennifer, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Awesome. Glad to hear it. We had a day off because of Memorial Day, so hopefully we're a little extra refreshed after the weekend, ready to start up training tomorrow, which by tomorrow, I mean today, because this episode will be posting on a Wednesday.
All right. Yeah. So, you know, definitely nice to have that little bit, you know, of the extra break, you know, especially because, you know, I was working over the weekend. Obviously, not quite a break for everyone, including, you know, many in the CrossFit inclined community. Who are doing Murph yesterday. So I have to say, you know, when I woke up, you know, after sleeping late yesterday, I found myself being pretty glad I wasn't currently doing 100 pull-ups and 200 push-ups, etc. But no, you know, I think it'll be good. You know, kind of nice to get those little breaks, you know, every once in a while that just get you kind of a little bit hungrier to come back and, you know, sort of attack it a little harder.
I think that's a cool thing about it. Like, you get hungry for training. You start to miss it a little bit versus whenever you have a big streak of just being very consistent with your training 4 days a week. That's great. That's fantastic. But you miss out on maybe that, like, you know, I really look forward to training. So I know sometimes training can get a little tough, and I know everybody's looking forward to coming to class, but when you know what's coming, because it was exactly the same thing as last week, except it's going to be a little heavier. I know that can be mentally tough. How do you weather those storms in training when things get tough and they get a little mundane? Because weightlifting, we're doing the same thing all the time.
You know, the way, I don't know, this might sound a little bit, you know, kind of, I don't know, like, you know, hashtag gym motivation or something like that. But I think that the thing for me is I usually try to remember that, you know, it's discipline that, and not motivation that I'm kind of looking for, you know, in those moments. And a lot of the time, you know, especially since, you know, I guess weightlifting is certainly, you know, not my first sport, you know, and there's been, you know, a lot of times in various, you know, past athletic endeavors where, you know, you get used to having those moments where, you know, you really, 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 really have to, you know, dig deep into the suck, you know, to get something, you know, that you want and that you're working for. And obviously just, you know, coming into to practice or class isn't or training, you know, isn't necessarily like, you know, a big, huge surge, but, you know, being able to, you know, sort of call on that ability just a little bit and, you know, and, have, you know, the discipline to understand that, like, you know, this is, you know, again, this is kind of where, this is where greatness is built, you know, which sounds so corny, but, like, you know, it's built, you know, in those little sort of step-by-step, you know, grinding it out, you know, even when you don't really feel like it. And I guess what it comes down to is, like, you know, if we only came into the gym when we felt like it and, you know, we're just really raring to go, it wouldn't really be training. It would basically just be, you know, going to the gym like anyone else did, right? You know, and it's one thing to just kind of go and, you know, do some kind of exercise, you know, a couple times a week, you know, when you're feeling up for it, you know, and there are many people in this world for whom, you know, that's what works, you know. But if you're going to be, you know, sort of, you know, an athlete and you're going to really train seriously towards something, you know, it really comes down to just building that routine and the personal discipline is I'm going to go and I'm going to do this, you know, and it's going to be, this is what, how I'm going to build, you know, what I'm working towards, even when I'd kind of really rather be in bed.
Yeah. And you have that long-term view on things and you've always seemed like a very disciplined, regimented person. Does that come from your past sporting background and what is the history of sports for you personally?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly would say I'd like to think that it is in a large sense. I guess you could say my kind of, you know, other than sort of, you know, general childhood stuff, you know, my sort of, you know, athletic history kind of really got a start when I was, I think, 15, you know, going through sort of the rest of my sort of high school age years, you know, I was on a rowing team when I lived in Seattle. And
that's, you know, right. I forgot about this. You were a rower. So when you took the CrossFit, it was very evident when you were crushing through all the rowing workouts.
Well, actually, yeah. So it's funny you mentioned CrossFit too, because that was actually how I got into doing CrossFit sort of the first time around. When I was about 16 or so, we started having, at least like during some parts of the year, we would have, you know, there were a couple of guys who ran a CrossFit gym in Seattle, one of whom was, you know, had been a member of this rowing team when he was a teenager, you know, and so there was a little bit of connection here. And he, you know, basically he would come and he would program some of our, you know, on land conditioning workouts. And then that eventually progressed to us, you know, at least during, you know, especially during the summer, but also during sort of other parts of the year as well. You know, we would go to the gym, you know, in Seattle that he had opened, you know, and we would do, you know, basically essentially just CrossFit workouts there, which you know, some, there was, you know, definitely some way in which it was programmed, like with a view to be for rowing, you know, but they were CrossFit workouts. And so that was how I got to do CrossFit the first time around.
That's really cool. It's kind of like informal CrossFit geared towards performance in rowing.
Essentially, yeah.
And when you say rowing, you're talking about on the water, not just on the erg.
I am talking about on the water. And of course, you know, on the erg is a big part of that, right? You know, so I had like, from when I was like 18 to 22, I had a period where like I swore off ever getting on an erg for like years because I was so sick of it from rowing. Obviously that, you know, didn't last forever. But so obviously we did do a lot of, you know, on land erg workouts in rowing, but you know, that was—
Does it ever irk you when it pops up in the programming now when like, oh no, not a rower. I wish I could be biking.
You know, I'm kind of over it at this point.
Okay, that's good.
You know, but because that was, you know, a while ago at this point, you know. Yeah, but like, you know,
That way I don't feel bad about programming. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. You know, Jennifer hates rowing now.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't hate it. You know, I don't think it would be the thing I would choose to do all day, every day, you know, but I definitely don't hate it. But yeah, that was all in service of, you know, on water rowing. So, you know, we raced mostly eights, you know, occasionally fours, you know, and at various regattas, you know, rowing is a little bit interesting because there's kind of a, you know, there's kind of weight classes, but it's only like, there's only two weight classes. You're either a lightweight or open weight, right? You know,
mm-hmm. And there's a cutoff, like 165 and below is the lightweight. 165 above is, or plus is heavyweight. Is that how it is?
Exactly. And I mean, there's some competitions, I think like at the international and the collegiate level, they do it like by an average. There's also like individual rowers and also a slightly lower average over the boat. So that's essentially what it is, you know. You know, and so the equivalent of my senior year age wise, you know, you know, when I was 17, 18, you know, I was a, you know, lightweight varsity rower, did actually compete at the national level in that, you know, did not do very well at the national level, mind you, but, you know, yeah, so that was definitely an interesting experience to have, like, you know, long distance travel, you know, as opposed to just kind of, you know, next state over travel.
And a big accomplishment on just getting to that level and being there, because rowing to me seems like a very hard sport to get to that kind of a level. I mean, I don't know what it's like on the schooling aspect of it and qualifying or things like that, but just even just having your boat and getting to the water and doing everything, it seems like a very difficult sport to get to that level.
I mean, it definitely is a difficult sport, you know, and it was something where, you know, even as, you know, teenagers, we were training like generally 5 days a week, you know, sometimes when the run up to nationals, even, you know, 6 days a week or, you know, multiple times in a day. For short periods. So it's a pretty intense sport, you know, and I think it kind of has this very sort of, you know, genteel reputation that obscures, you know, how really very difficult it is from an athletic perspective. You know, it's very, very, very intensely, you know, conditioning dependent, obviously, you know, and then there's a decent amount of finesse, you know, in it as well. So
are you in the boat by yourself or with a crew of people?
So the short answer is they're both exist, right? You know, so in what I was doing, this was generally, like I said, eights and fours, which essentially means, you know, eight rowers or four rowers plus a coxswain. However, there are also some people who race like single sculls where you have, you know, just one person in a boat by yourself, right?
Okay. So you were with at least one other person?
Yeah. So generally either three other rowers or even seven other rowers. Oh, wow. Which obviously,
that's a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. So the biggest, but also kind of in some cases, like the biggest events are the eights where you have eight rowers total plus a coxswain, which is the person who steers. And is generally kind of just the leader and the coordinator of the crew. I would definitely say that that was kind of a very formative experience, you know, for me, just generally in terms of life things, but also athletically, because, you know, it's, I think it was a very good sort of foundation to have in terms of just being able to have, like, you know, the discipline and the intensity and say, okay, well, you know, this is something like, you know, if you want to be good, well, you know, you got to do this, you know, however many times a week, you know, it's, you know, no way around it, right? You know?
Yeah, that makes sense. And it seems too, like, it would make you very good at communicating. Like, I can just, in the boat, not everybody can see everybody. So how does the communication work where there's a person behind you and you're like the person at the end of the boat just staring at the water? How does the coxswain communicate to everybody, and how does that message get down to everybody, or does it even need to? And do you think that this helped you be an effective communicator?
So in terms of your rowing, I mean, to some degree, you know, you just you match the person who's in front of you, and then obviously the person who's in front of everyone else kind of sets the pace for everyone else. But the overall stroke rate that the stroke pair is gonna, you know, set is essentially decided by the coxswain to some extent, you know, and they're the ones kind of making the decision to achieve the race pace based on where you are in the race. The short answer for how it gets to everyone, there's actually an intercom system in modern rowing shells.
Oh, really?
So the coxswain will have like a little headset, you know, and then there's just a small little, you know, like running wire with little speakers every couple of seats.
That's cool. I whole time I thought just someone yelling at the back of the boat.
Well, of course, you know, back in the day, that's kind of how it was. You know, you see the old timey pictures where it's literally like a guy with just like a little tiny megaphone strapped to his face or something like that. Yeah. You know, he's just like screaming at everybody, which is amusing. But it's technologically enabled now.
You don't always think about all sports should probably technologically advance. And like that one is like, oh, well, they're in a boat, there's water, they're not going to have anything like that. That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. In terms of communicating, you know, I don't know that brought a whole lot to me in terms of working with other people, just because, you know, when you're a rower, communication is kind of, you're more on sort of the receiving end, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, I do think that it gave me a better sort of overall, I guess you could say, sort of a better sort of, you know, somatic sense of, you know, just having some knowledge of, you know, sort of what the body is capable of, and, you know, sort of what certain feelings, you know, and how you feel them as you kind of, you know, are undertaking some sort of athletic endeavor.
Yeah, you got the communication from maybe an outside source, but then you have your internal source on what your body's telling you your limit is, that what you can do. And you are very good at that. Like when we're in training for Barbell Club, you know very well when, like, all right, that's it. The energy is gone. We don't have another set, you know. And there are people out there that don't have that. They don't know how to listen to their body when it tells them they've reached the limit for this particular day. And it also seems like you have a good outlook on there will be another day, you know, where I can go for this. It's not today for XYZ reason, but there will be another day. So that's a good background to have, you know, coming into this sport as an athlete. So you had those formative years, you're a rower, you're competing at the national level, you're doing some CrossFit, albeit informal type of CrossFit. When did you, what brought you to Albany CrossFit? Because that's when, is that the first time you're like in a CrossFit gym doing actual CrossFit, or was there a time before that?
So not quite. Yeah, not quite the first time. I would say that the first time, you know, I was kind of as an adult, you know, sort of undertaking CrossFit of my own accord would have been summer 2017. And, you know, in between that and in the sort of preceding time, in terms of structured athletic activities, like I had, you know, I played soccer a while after undergrad, you know, and that sort of thing. But when I was in grad school in 2017, I was on an internship over the summer in basically central New Jersey, right? You know, and I was just kind of searching for some kind of gym that I could join for, you know, 3 months, right? You know, because I was there for the summer and I was like, well, you know, it's really hot. You know, I don't want to just like, you know, go for a run around the block. You know, I don't want to just sit on my duff all summer, right? You know,
that doesn't sound fun.
Right. Got to do something, right? And, you know, it was like, there were a couple of things where it was like, there is, you know, some commercial gyms that just like, were going to be too much of a pain to join for like 3 months, you know? So the best thing I ended up happening upon was, you know, not that far from the office at the, you know, engineering company I was working at, there was a CrossFit gym, right? You know, and so I just, you know, sort of paid for a month-to-month membership for 3 months, you know, and so that was
the name?
I want to say it was CrossFit Ex Novo. I don't know if they're still around because, you know, I haven't really been back since 2017. But that was the first time where I was like, you know, a member of a CrossFit gym in kind of, you know, the conventional sense. And then, you know, summer ended and I went back to Troy, and then I was kind of just back at the regular old, you know, RPI gym, which, you know, is broadly equivalent to you just like a commercial gym. You know, you know, you got a bunch of plate machines, and you know, you got a bunch of ellipticals, and you got some stationary bikes, and you got some, you know, stair steppers.
Did you try to do CrossFit on your own while you were there? Like, all right, I'm gonna do some burpees and pull-ups, or it can be awkward doing that like in a commercial gym where everyone else is on their treadmills machines and you're like, what's that person in the corner doing?
You know, I definitely, like, you know, I definitely tried to do like pull-ups, you know, where they had like, you know, but it was the sort of thing where they have one of those like weight assisted pull-up machines and you just set it to zero weight, you know, and you put a 5-pound plate on the bar, you know, on the arm, you know, and you start doing pull-ups. But I definitely don't think I was doing like, you know, anything that reasonably approximated like sort of, you know, like any real sort of, you know, functional training or whatever. You know, I was kind of just, you know, it was very much, you know, at the time it was very much just like an I'm exercising to be in shape, not with any sort of specific athletic goals. And to be honest, I kind of just continued along like that in more or less the same kind of, you know, I'm just kind of exercising to be in shape sort of thing. It kind of continued like that until I would say maybe late 2020, give or take, was when I started kind of just, I want to say it was kind of like back when gyms were opening again after like the period of just kind of everything being nuked for the pandemic, you know, and I was like, you know, I think I want to be focusing more like, you know, on fitness and like, you know, having real sort of accomplishments as opposed to just kind of maintaining a base level of fitness, especially
restart now that everything's opening up again.
Right. You know, and especially I was kind of like rueing how much fitness I felt like I had lost, you know, when the gyms were closed. And I was like, you know, I think I want to be more purposeful than intentional about it. Right. You know?
Yeah.
And after a few months, you know, it kind of got pretty obvious that, you know, just Planet Fitness wasn't going to cut it, you know, if that was going to be, you know, the plan. So I think it was like spring 2021 that I first came to Albany CrossFit, and that was
somewhere around March, I think.
And that was essentially just the result of, you know, some furious Googling, because I was like, okay, you know, I want to do something, you know, that's a little bit more real than, you know, the elliptical and the plate machine and, you know, at, you know, Planet Fitness. And, you know, I want something that's a little bit more real than, like, you know, the Smith machine and Planet Fitness, right? You know, what are some things, you know, where I can, like, you know, be fit, you know, and I can, you know, have, you know, an actual barbell. And I was like, well, you know, I remember that, you know, back when I was in grad school, I did CrossFit again for a bit, have pretty positive memories about that. You know, I felt like that was, you know, really getting me, you know, what I want to achieve now, you know, so why don't we try CrossFit again? And, you know, Albany CrossFit just seemed like it was the best choice for CrossFit in the general Albany area where I was.
That's right. Everybody heard it. Jennifer said. Well, that's awesome. I remember the first day you came in, the gym was looking quite different. We had the rig in the middle. It wasn't separated yet. We had the taped out stations, 10 by 10 stations, cleaning supplies everywhere. Everybody had to stay in their square to work out. I think we were all still wearing masks at that point.
It was
very different.
Yeah, I almost forgot, because there was a period of time where we were all going to the gym in masks, which, you know, seems crazy now. But
I think it's one of those things where you can't imagine doing it when it's like proposed, and now that it's gone, you can't imagine going back to do it again. It's like,
yeah.
Now, you did CrossFit for the remainder of that year, pretty much the remainder of that year, and then in January 2022 is when you joined the Barbell Club. So you were coming to CrossFit, and you made great progress in CrossFit. You were killing definitely all of the, you know, cardio-based conditioning workouts. Yeah. If we were running, you're the first one back on the run, on the rower. Jason Kirby was still a member of the gym. You and Jason were going toe-to-toe on the rowers. And even the bike. So anything cardio intense conditioning there, you were crushing it. Pull-ups were coming along. We were gaining some strength on barbell stuff, but what drew you to the Barbell Club and made you take that leap?
So it's funny you mentioned that, because like I definitely do think I've always been pretty good at like a lot of conditioning things, in particular running, you know. You know, even back when, you know, I was a teenager and I was doing rowing, you know, we had some distance runs that we would do just for kind of, you know, conditioning sometimes. And I was generally quite good at those as well. There's a problem with that, and that's that I don't actually like running that much.
I'm so good at it, but I hate it.
You know, and so... You know, it's just not, you know, it's the sort of thing where I'm just like, you know, I feel like this goes pretty well when I do it. But, when I start running, especially for distance, it tends to be like, wow, I really wish I was done with this.
Prefer being really like naturally good at it and disliking it versus being really bad at it and also disliking it.
Yeah,
I'd rather the combo.
That's true. That would probably just be very demoralizing, right? You know, and I kind of, you know, I feel like there are people in this world who really enjoy running. And like, you know, there are people where that's like their main sport and their main athletic endeavor. You know, you think about the sort of people who run like, you know, 5Ks and 10Ks and, you know, 15Ks and, you know, half marathons and marathons, you know, that seems to be something that they really enjoy, that goes really well for them. And like, you know, it's fun for them to go out and run. And I kind of thought about those people, and I realized that like, I am definitely not one of those people who really just likes to go out and go for a run. And on the other hand, and like, you know, I like having good conditioning to be sure, but like, I really don't think that like those kind of cardio endurance things, you know, are for me, you know, at least, you know, kind of how I feel about myself right now. And the other thing that, you know, I was noticing with doing CrossFit is that I felt like the things where I felt like I was both good at it and that I was feeling a lot of satisfaction was stuff where we were putting, you know, a significant amount of weight on the barbell. you know, and I was realizing that, you know, I was basically, I was getting to the point where I was stronger than I had been, you know, when I was 18, right? You know, which of course is not that much of a surprise, but like, you know, I up until that point had been like, wow, you know, that was when I was really in shape, you know, and I was, you know, had like a concrete athletic thing that I was doing all the time, you know, and like, oh, well, I had thought I was pretty strong then. But then I was realizing that like, it wasn't taking that much time, you know, for me to be like, oh, you know, no, I'm stronger now than I was then, you know, and I really enjoy moving the barbell. And that's what I feel like I like being good at. That is what really makes me look forward to class, you know.
And there's a distinct feeling too on, I feel in shape, I feel conditioned, whether that be for high intensity or like just aerobically, I'm going to go for miles on end of running. And then there's that feeling of, I feel strong. That feeling when you do a clean and jerk, and it's even if it's not a PR, it's just very high percentage. You're just like, wow, I just feel strong and fast. Or when you do PR, you get a heavy back squat PR. There's just something about that feeling that is, it's in the family of those other things. And it's probably what, it's equivalent to what those people feel who enjoy those activities. But there is something so different about it though.
And the thing too is like, I kind of realized, you know, I've kind of realized over the last, you know, year and a half or so that like, feeling strong almost kind of changes how you view a lot of the world, right? You know, yeah. And it, you know, if I just feel like you go through the day to day in your life in kind of a different way, you know, because you kind of, it really sort of, it, I think it really does sort of build up your self-image, you know, and you sort of approach problems differently because you're like, I know that I feel strong, you know, and I know
absolutely
that I'm, you know, capable of moving a lot, you know, a lot of weight, you know, and it's just, you know, you just have this almost like aura of like, hey, you know what I do for fun? You know, I lift more than stuff that weighs more than I do over my head, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and that, you know, you just, you know, you carry yourself a little bit different, you know?
Well, the cool thing is like, how many times have you walked into like a gas station and there's like, you know, maybe six people in there and you're like, I might be the strongest person in here. Like or you can, especially with what we do, like a snatch, there's a good chance on anywhere that you are, maybe you're in the classroom at school because you're attending school for classes, you're probably the only person in the room that can do that, not only at the weight but just at the technique as well,
right?
It's pretty cool. It's a cool feeling to have.
Well, and that's, I have to say, why I like weightlifting in particular, you know, because I think that, you know, it's, weightlifting is cool to me because it allows you to be really strong without completely losing hold of like, you know, the finesse and the athleticism, right? You know,
yep,
that we sort of see a lot of, you know, not only in CrossFit, but also just general as a person, right? You say, okay, well, you know, yes, I'm strong, but, you know, I also have, you know, it also takes a lot of technique, right? You know, there's a technical ability, you know, and it's also not completely without a little bit of the sort of the conditioning and the athleticism in that sense, you know, you need a little bit of that for weightlifting. Whereas, you know, on the other hand, I think that, you know, obviously, you know, no one doubts that powerlifters are strong, right? You know, that's like so not in dispute, right? You know, that's the core of powerlifting is they're moving so much weight. It's insane, right? But, you know, I also feel like there's something, you know, that weightlifting kind of has that little bit of finesse and a little bit more athleticism, right? You know, that I'm not sure that, you know, a squat specialist necessarily gets, even though, you know, we certainly, you know, in terms of like overall ability to generate force, you know, hands down, right? You know, but I feel like weightlifting gives me a little bit more of the mix.
Yeah. No, we're definitely better. You can say it. weightlifting's better. And the thing is too, you'll see like these, like the higher level powerlifters, you know,
they
look strong, but you'll see some like higher level weightlifters and they could just be a, you know, a person in shorts and a t-shirt out in the world. And they don't necessarily look like they can do the crazy things that they can do.
Yeah.
And that's another cool thing about weightlifting is like, you just look like a normal person And then all of a sudden someone sees a video of you doing some crazy heavy clean and jerk. It's like, wow, I can't believe that they can do that. And that's because of that athletic component. They don't necessarily look strong, but they are super strong and powerful and fast and athletic. It's just a cool thing. So is that what sparked you joining the Barbell Club? And you've been in the Barbell Club ever since we stole you away from CrossFit. What led to the full defection? You're like, all right, CrossFit's done. I'm all in on weightlifting.
You know, I think that the thing about, you know, what it comes down to is the fact that, like, you know, with the Barbell Club and with weightlifting, you know, I feel like not only am I getting more the sort of right mix of things that I feel like, you know, I'm, you know, are sort of for me, but also, you know, there's a sense of like, oh, well, you know, every time I come in, you know, we're training for a specific thing and we're training, you know, implicitly for competition, right? You know, and that's like what the measure of it is, you know, is we have meets that we go to and that's, you know, sort of what we train for. Now, quite obviously there are CrossFit competitions, right? You know, but I think that, you know, with CrossFit, it's great. To some degree with CrossFit, I feel like its greatest appeal is also its greatest weakness, in the sense that, you know, it's a little bit of everything, right? You know, and that's to me is kind of part of the point of CrossFit. If it's all around fitness, right? You know,
yeah, and general physically prepared.
Yeah, and like that's, you know, and that's, you know, certainly clearly CrossFit has been very successful in building, you know, all around fitness as both a competition, you know, and as, you know, sort of a program. But the downside of that is, you know, you feel like you're never training for any one specific thing to be good at that thing, you know, and then to compete with that thing, you know. And so I just felt like with Barbell Club, you know, I was getting like, you know, the focus of like, you know, every day it's a program for, you know, snatch and clean and jerk, you know, and that's what, you know, the focus is, and, you know, that's what the sport is. And that's, you know, here we are, that's what we're here for.
And there's, you know, a date on the calendar in 2 months, we're going to go to this place and do this thing, which in defense of CrossFit, there is the open, but not everybody does the open, you know. CrossFit at its core is for general physical preparedness, general health and fitness.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of everything, not specializing in anything. Routine is the enemy, because we want to be healthy and fit for life in our whole lifetime. But for someone like you, you're looking for that sporting outlet, that competitiveness, you know, that date on the calendar. Weightlifting does make a little bit more sense.
Yeah. And that's, I think, obviously the downside of something that's regimented in this way is, you know, it runs the risk of being monotonous, you know, or, you know, you run the risk of sort of pigeonholing yourself in the one thing. You know, I just kind of felt like where I was, you know, a year and a half ago and with where I am, you know, now, I feel currently like what I want is the sporting endeavor, right? You know, to be an athlete, right? You know, as opposed to just, you know, a very fit person.
Yeah. And you get the uniform, right? Like when we go to weightlifting meets, you're putting on the singlet, the shoes,
right, yeah,
the belts, like you feel like you're in a competition versus, you know, I never really thought about this before. Even though the open is a competition for CrossFit, there's like, you're just there in your gym shirt and shorts and shoes and whatever, you know, which I guess everybody does still have gear for that, but there is something special about the singlet. It's a unique, you know, aspect of the sport.
Yeah. And I think too, it's also like with weightlifting, all of this like kind of old timey things, you know, that are part of the competition. It's like, you know, they almost give it a certain cachet, right? Like, you know, it's in a way, it's just like, you know, we have these little idiosyncrasies. Like, you know, we call it the introduction of the athletes is something that we do at every meet, right? You know, and, you know, our judges wear, you know, blue suit jackets because, you know, that's what they wear. And, you know, and it's like, it just gives a little bit, you know, a little bit of an air, you know, if that makes
sense. Yeah, there's a competition secretary, a speaker, a timekeeper, you know, a chief marshal, you know, it's right, very formal, you know.
Right, you know.
Very, at sometimes maybe pinkies in the air and very, very snooty, but it has come a long way. At least there's music being played now at most events. It used to be there was no music, so it's just a quiet room.
Only the sound of barbells. Frowns. Yeah.
barbells and frowns. You know, no one's smiling. So a lot has changed with that. That's good, at least. So you're in the barbell club now. You're in the sport of weightlifting. There's no sign of turning back now. We're in too deep. We got custom singlets. Once you have a custom singlet, that's it.
You're
in. You've done quite a few meets already. So your first meet was the 2022 Adirondack Regional Open. Then after that, you did the Hudson Valley Regional Open, and you took gold at that, Hudson Valley Regional Champion. And you'll be returning there this Saturday, June 3rd, 2023, to regain and repeat the title. So we'll be there that weekend. Shout out to Joe Rodriguez, Hudson Valley Regional Rep and Cup of Joe weightlifting head coach, who's running that event. Then your third meet was the New York State Championships in 2022. That's a big meet for a third meet. What did you notice was the difference between those? What was there more pressure at the state championships? Were you a little more comfortable because this was your third time through? You've already been on the competition platform a couple times. And did your background in high level rowing help at all in any of this?
You know, I definitely think that, you know, it helps. You know, I feel like no matter how many, you know, competitions I do, there's still that little bit of like, you know, day of kind of, you know, nervous energy that I don't know if is ever going to completely go away.
It's good to be a little nervous, just a little bit. It means you know what it means? It means you care, right?
Yeah. But I, you know, obviously I do think that it's, you know, the practice is definitely important, you know, and I think that something I've come to realize is that like being able to compete and being a competitor is almost like a completely other set of skills that, you know, you need in addition to being a good lifter, you know, because I see, you know, occasionally you see some people where, you know, they're definitely strong lifters, right? Like, you know, that they can snatch and they can clean and jerk a lot of weight. And then, but, you know, sometimes when they get on the competition platform, it's just not there, right? You know, and they're not hitting their attempts or they're bombing out, you know, and it's like, but you know that they can move that weight, you know, or at least they have, you know, and, but when it comes to being a competitor, it just kind of doesn't add up. And so I think that it is really important to have that be sort of, you know, part of a skill set as an athlete is to, you know, to be a competitor in addition to, you know, a strong lifter or a good lifter. You know, because you get that extra little mental dimension. And, you know, it doesn't sound like it would be that different. Like, you're doing the same thing with basically the same bar and basically the same plates. But like, so much of being an athlete is psychological, right? You know, and I think that, you know, the so much of the difference between being somebody who just works out and being an athlete, you know, like that, like, most of that is just in the psychological elements, you know? And so I do think that, you know, having the practice is certainly important. That being said, I do think that it was definitely a different feel to be, you know, at states because, you know, everything's, like I said, you know, all of that, those sort of, those errors are kind of different, right? You know, it's a different feel of being there, you know? And because like, you know, for the regionals, it's like, well, you know, that's our home meet. We host that, right? You know,
yeah.
So of course it's a different feel because like there's a platform, there's judges, there's also, you know, people from other teams there. But like,
yeah, but it's, you know, only 50 feet away from where you normally lift.
Right. So like, you know, there you are in the same gym you've been to 100 times, right? You know. So and then like, you know, with Hudson Valley, I definitely think, you know, it was good to do that in between and sort of for the same reason that I'm doing it again this year in between. You just kind of get, you know, you don't get too rusty with, you know, being a competitor and be on the platform, you know. But then again, like, you know, you know with states, it's like, just, well, you're in a bigger room, right? You know, and there's, you know, more chairs in front of you, there's more people, right? You know, there's more people in the warm-up room,
there's a nice chandelier up high in the ceiling and a beautiful rug. Now the regional, that was your first meet, and not everybody gets the opportunity to do their first meet in their home gym. So that was definitely a huge advantage. The Hudson Valley meet, just a few months later, that was your first time venturing out into the weightlifting world. And that was in a hotel as well, wasn't in another gym, but it was a smaller hotel and definitely in front of a whole different crowd of people and not 50 feet away from where you normally lift. So that was a great to get out there. Great to take the show on the road, so to say, you know, the things you practice all the time, pack up the bags, the shoes, the belt, and then hit the road and go. And yeah, we got stuck in traffic that day too. Did you get stuck in that traffic because of the accident?
I feel like I think I got a little bit stuck in traffic, you know, but I had left like so much earlier than I needed to that it didn't end up mattering that much, you know. And then, you know, I do like, you know, that drive, because it's like, you know, going from where we are to Poughkeepsie, it's not that big a deal. And it's mostly, you know, mostly just on the three-way.
Yeah,
which 90 is a pretty minutes. Easy, you know, you put cruise control on and you listen to a podcast and, you know, how bad could it be, right? So, you know, I definitely thought that was kind of a good toe dip, because like the travel's not that bad. You know, you can get away with doing all of it same day, right? You know,
yeah.
And then, you know, it's a little bit of a smaller affair as opposed to like, you know, the States where like, you know, I went down States and came back day of, but that was like a pretty full day because it was a little bit further and like it's a bigger hotel and like clearly a lot of the people are staying there in the hotel, you know, where the meet is held. So
and that's tough to drive out the day of to go do the state championships and then drive back and probably have to go to work and do a whole shift.
Yeah, I did go to work the morning after States. That was a little rough, but
now to go back to what you said before, the person who they, you know, maybe they've done a bunch of meets, so they're getting into the habit of competing, but they're not really maybe becoming a competitor, not getting fully into that athlete mindset as an individual. You know, maybe they're lacking something from a psychological standpoint. Let's say this person, you know, you've seen them lifting at the gym, or you've seen them just videos of them online crushing all these weights, yet when they come to the meet, you're watching them bomb out or not being able to hit anywhere near their potential. And they've got this experience, though. They've been doing it for a while. They've been getting out on the platform, putting on the singlet. What advice would you give to this person to better become a competitor and to more turn into an athlete versus maybe, I guess, take that step from recreational lifter to being of an athletic mindset?
You know, I think this is a good actually sort of moment to sort of rope in my sort of professional life in as well, because sometimes, you know, in, I guess you could say the world of, you know, medicine podcasts, you know, for people who talk about, you know, critical care and emergency medicine and just, you know, the world of sort of resuscitation of the critically ill patient in general, there's a decent amount of like sort of cross-pollination with people who talk, you know, you eventually, you know, you get so many podcast episodes in and people start talking about like psychology of competition, you know, and a lot of these kind of same topics that we're kind of segueing into right now, because obviously it's a little bit different, right? You're not competing at a meet. It's like you've got a very sick patient in front of you, you know, who, you know, needs emergent medical intervention. But in those kind of cases, it's kind of the same thing psychologically, because you've got this moment where, you know, you've done the preparation up until now from mechanistically, right? You know how to do the lifts, right? You know, you're strong. Or in some cases, you know how to do procedures, right? You know how to diagnose and treat disease, but you don't have that, like, there's not that performance mindset, right? You know, and I think that one of the things that I realized has served me very well in sort of many aspects of my life, you know, up, you know, recently, is just the ability to get a hold of, you know, sort of to get a grip and to suppress panic when, you know, you're worried that things won't go well, or, you know, you're worried that things aren't going well, you know, and just being able to shove that aside, you know, and focus on the task at hand. And
that's hard
in terms of, yeah, it's definitely not easy, but I think that the biggest piece of advice that I would give for being able to sort of summon that kind of performance, you know, is to be able to break it down into the simplest first things first, right? You know, because I think a lot of the time what happens is people get overwhelmed with like the enormity of the task, right? It just seems like, you know, it just seems like there's so much pressure on them, or people are watching them, or they've never done this before, or even if they have done it before, just, you know, they're worried about how they'll perform. And, you know, you get this like almost like big picture overlook that overwhelms the actual performance of the individual. And so I think in that case, you know, you really just have to take it back to the basics, right? You know, and you have to be like, okay, well, you know, in order to make this lift, right, you know, you have to have a good setup, right? You know, you got to position your hands, you got to get a good start position, and you got to focus on all the same things, right? You know, that you focus on when you're in training. And you have to break it down to those little things, because otherwise you don't really get started and you don't think about those things, and you just get out there and you just kind of try to wing it, right? You know, and, you know, maybe that works and maybe it doesn't.
You've missed two lifts, right? And you're going out there and you're thinking about how am I going to jerk this weight overhead, but you still have to do the clean first. So it's right. Like, you know, why are you thinking about the jerk when you should be thinking about the clean? And your setup and making the clean as easy and smooth and efficient as possible to set you up for a solid, strong jerk. Meanwhile, you're thinking about what you have to do at the end game. And you're also maybe thinking about too much what came before. All right, I've already missed two lifts. Yeah, you have to be like an elephant. Or nope. An elephant never forgets. You have to be the opposite of an elephant.
Yeah.
You have to forget everything that came before it and focus on what is the immediate task at hand. The clock has started. Get some chalk on your hands. Make sure your belt is tight. Walk exactly out there.
Because we know that we can do each of, we know how to do each of those individual things, right? You know,
exactly. Yeah.
And so it just, you know, it's like, okay, one step at a time, right? You know, you got to do all those things that you've trained yourself to do and you know how to do. And, you know, you go through one after the other instead of, you know, just, you got to zoom in and be like, okay, you know, this first thing is doable. Second thing is doable. This third thing is doable, because, you know, then you get the little tasks that you keep yourself busy with that are making progress to be prerequisites to making the lift, you know, or succeeding in the task, whatever it is, as opposed to just, oh my God, how am I going to do this? You know, this overall thing, you know, that seems big.
Yeah. And you can probably draw a line from that back to training a little bit. I mean, it's going to be different going out there in that completely different environment of the competition zone. You got the platform, you got all the people. It's just a whole different feel to it. And then everything that came before on travel, how you feel on that day, et cetera. But in training, you can focus on those little things that you're talking about. Are you on your phone between sets, on warmups and working sets, answering emails for work or just chatting to people or surfing Instagram? Or are you focusing the way you would at a meet? Because if you train one way and then you go to the meet and you're not on your phone because now you are engaged in the activity at hand, well, this is the first time you've done that in months, to be quiet with your mind and with the barbell and then reacting to things, versus you miss a lift and you're like, oh man, all right, I'll come back, I'll get it again. And then you're right back to reading people's posts or watching TikToks and stuff. It doesn't seem like those two things sync up very well.
No, they definitely don't, right? You know, and I think like, obviously, no matter what, training and competition are going to be different. And like, there's a certain amount of that that's unavoidable. But there's, you know, I think, you know, it's kind of corny, but there's a saying like, you know, you don't rise to the level of your expectations, you fall to the level of your training, right? You know, and yeah. And so, you know, the if we sort of make our training more like how, you know, how we sort of, you know, we are at the sharp end, right? You know, if we're training more like how we're fighting, so to speak, right? You know, then, you know, when we do fall to the level to which we have trained ourselves, you know, that's will be good enough, and that will be what we need.
Yeah. Well, I like how we're fighting. If you were a boxer and you never got punched in the face in training, or and then all of a sudden the first time that's happening is the opening round of a match that you're in, then all of a sudden you're gonna have to deal with that right now, you know.
To bring up another sort of, you know, corny saying, it's like the Mike Tyson, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face, right? And obviously, you know, we're not generally getting punched in the face in our sport, but, you know, it's, you know, you can, I guess the idea is like, you know, everyone's got a plan for how it's going to go until something happens that's outside their expectations, or something happens that's outside, you know, what the plan was, right? You know, and a lot of the time, the thing that makes a competitor is being able to keep back to the basics when things aren't going according to plan.
Yeah. I just had a thought pop in my head. Have I done training workouts where I would have rather have been punched in the face? And the answer is yes.
It's like, do
four more sets of that, or you get hit once
just
and you get
take the one and done, right?
Yeah, I can think of a couple instances of where I would have picked the punch in the face option. That doesn't mean it'll be fun, but neither options are fun or pain-free. So, interesting things to think about, especially, you know, here we are the week of a competition. How are you preparing mentally for this weekend? We have a meet and we have goals outlined. We have numbers we're trying to hit. Training has been going well. We've got a bunch of PRs. How are you preparing for this meet?
You know, I think that the biggest thing for me is to note that, like, I know that I'm capable of I'm capable of everything, you know, up through the second attempts, right? You know, because I've done them before, right? You know,
and you've done them from multiple positions and different drills.
You know, and that's, you know, that's definitely a big confidence booster. And then, you know, I've also, you know, had some all-time PRs at meets on the third attempt, right? You know, including at this meet, you know, at this meet, you know, sort of last year. And that's, you know, that in and of itself is very reassuring, because it, like, you know, you feel like you have a little bit in hand, right? You know?
Yeah.
But then also, you know, I think it, you know, it definitely helps just to know that, you know, obviously this is no guarantee things will go according to plan, as previously discussed, but, like, you know, I think that obviously the little bit of rest is helpful. I feel like we're kind of, you know, on the upswing, you know, entering, like, you know, a strong period of training, you know, where things are, I feel, you know, I kind of have this sort of intuition that, you know, some progress is about to be made, you know. And
I mean, the stars have aligned very well with, you're done with school right now. So you just finished that is off of you time-wise, physically sitting in the classrooms, doing the work, but also mentally, that mental load is hopefully off of your mind. And then just by luck, the holiday happened to be the Monday before this meet. So we had extra rest time. So everything's really lining up very well.
Right. You know, and I had this good feeling that this is going to be a very productive summer for training. You know, even if, you know, knock on wood, things don't go quite according to plan at this meet, you know, I think that this is going to be a summer where, you know, we really have time to drill down and sort of break through some things that we've been kind of butting up against for a while, right? You know, and big, you know, kind of that, again, it's like almost the belief, you know, is almost a prerequisite for being able to do it.
Yeah. You have to dream it. You have to work for it. And then you have to know it. You're like, I know I can do this. I can feel it, you know? And then you may not get it the first time. That's the thing too. Dealing with the, you know, not the gratification of achieving the goal, dealing with the misses or the bombs or just the hard training sessions. You still have to have that little underlying belief underneath all that, that, like, you know what, this was just today. This doesn't define me for forever. It's just a day.
You know, and as I like to say, that the barbell giveth and the barbell taketh away, right? You know, which obviously, you know, is a joke on some level, but, you know, it's the disappointment is the price we pay for the exhilaration of success, right? You know, and on the flip side, the exhilaration of success, you know, is the benefit that we get, right? You know, in exchange for, you know, the disappointments, because, you know, it's not possible, right? It's not conceivable that we're just going to have, you know, all wins all day, every day, right? You know, that's not realistic, right? You know, and I almost feel like that would get kind of boring, right? You know, it's like, that's not, at some point, that's not really a competition, right? You know, if it's just, you know, all sunshine and rainbows, right? You know, and, you know, if you're able to have some success, whether that's, you know, winning or medaling or just, you know, getting a PR or just feel, hell, even just feeling like you did a good job, right? You know, then you're able to say, well, here, you know, I worked for this with highs and lows, right? You know, that's kind of what we get out of it, you know, at the end of the day.
Well, and it adds a little bit of grit to you too, right? All of those really hard training sessions. Like, look at recently, the complexes we've been doing have been absolutely brutal, you know, and people are missing sets or missing a rep on a complex. And then having to really, without any choice, step right back up to the barbell and try again, you know. And what's amazing out of that is when you can get the extra rep and when you can complete it, you know, even though you just failed the time before, or maybe you've been hitting all of the reps on the complex, but there's a little bit of doubt creeping up in your head. I'm like, I don't know if I can do this again. Like, I just did it. That felt like that was the upper limit. Then we do set number four and you're like, oh, okay. All right. I got through that. It felt maybe a little better. I had to push a little harder and I got through it, but I don't know if I'm going to get this last set, set number five, but it is the last set and I want this set and I'm going to work for this set. And then you put everything you have into it. So it's like, there's so much psychologically going on the training that we've been doing where it's, you know, if you want it and you have to actually work for it if you want it. And nothing is guaranteed. So it's been a cool, it's cool to see go down, you know, when all you guys are fighting with these complexes.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's, again, that's, it's, you know, I definitely wouldn't say that, like, you know, you don't inherently get benefit from something just because it sucks, but it's impossible to get benefit without some of the suck. You know, so, you know, and there's, again, that even just as an overall sort of life outlook, you know, there's a lot of benefit from knowing that you can do something hard, you know, and there's a lot of benefit from, you know, that grit of, you know, being able to say, oh, well, you know, I know I can accomplish something, right, you know, by grinding through the suck, you know.
Yeah. And it's because no one said life was going to be easy and no one said weightlifting was going to be easy either.
It's, you know, and it's not, but, you know, in a way that's the beauty of it, right? Like I said, that's the price we pay for the highs, you know?
Yeah. And it's like you said earlier, it keeps it, you know, it'd be boring if it wasn't that way, you know, like there's maybe going to be a time when you look back and you're like, man, that was so hard, that like that stretch that led me up to this goal. And you really wouldn't have it any other way. You wouldn't change it to have it to have just been a walk in the park. You know, it's just it's kind of like when you watch any like movie like that has the hero's journey. Well, you have the introduction and then you have those periods of where all hope is lost. And then there's, you know, you overcome that and then you win at the end of the story, or, you know, or maybe you don't. But that's what makes it fun. Now, we got a couple minutes left. How are you doing on time?
I'm doing okay.
Okay, cool. So let's talk overview on weightlifting and your training as a weightlifter. What's been the biggest thing outside of what we've already talked about that weightlifting has taught you? Because way back you mentioned that rowing, you know, had some influence on you being a disciplined person and being goal-oriented and regimented. Has weightlifting given any new kind of life lessons or taught you a different thing that you do now?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think so. You know, besides, you know, I think like like I said, you know, we have kind of that little bit of a different outlook on life, you know, just from being strong, you know, and knowing, you know, the strength that you have. That's definitely part of it. But in terms of lessons, I think the biggest one would just be that, like, you know, again, sort of progress is not guaranteed and progress is not sort of, you know, linear, right? You know, but progress can be made, you know, if it's earned, you know. And I, you know, in the long run, you know, the big progress is made, you know, it's kind of like, again, you know, to bring up yet another sort of corny saying, you know, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, right? You know, it does begin with a single step, and then another step, and then another step, and then another step, and then another step, right? You know, so the long-term progress, you know, is made every single day, right? You know, by having the discipline, you know, even if, you know, you kind of really don't want to, you know. And that's something that I feel like, even like when we come in on the weekends, right, to do day four, I feel like that's almost like the lesson every weekend, you know, is you're there, you know, it's often Saturday morning, you know, so.
Oh, you cut out a little bit, Jennifer. Oh, wait a minute. You're back now.
Okay.
Okay. The last thing I heard, I think you're back.
Okay.
The last thing I heard was that's part of the challenge of day four, you know, coming in, and that's where you left off, day four.
Oh yeah, I think so I think almost like part of the challenge and the lesson and the value of something like day four is, you know, we come in, you know, the day after we've already been here, like a Saturday morning, you know, which is kind
it's
of like
you never left.
It's like you never left, and it's like such a time when you know that like most people in this world are just kind of goofing off, you know, maybe even still in bed, right? You know, and there's definitely that feeling of like, kind of would really rather be not doing this, but you know, you have to be able to recenter yourself and be like, listen, you know, this is where the progress is made, right? You know, and you know, this is where this is that step, right? You know, in that journey of 1,000 miles, right? You know, and just knowing that, like, you know, you have to, you can, there's always the ability to make progress. It's always there, right? You know, what progress looks like, you know, depending on your situation and your age and your capability, like the progress is different for everyone, right? You know, but I think the overall lesson is that, like, you know, the progress will be made if you put the work in, but it's dependent on, you know, having those little, you know, times when you take that extra step and you say, wow, you know, I could not be doing this, but I'm choosing to sort of, you know, to master myself, right, you know, and do it anyway, because this is where the progress is going to be made.
It's the journey of 1,000 squats on day four.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
We'll have to change up that quote and steal it and make it our own, because that's what we've been doing quite a bit.
Yeah, a journey of 1,000 kilos begins with
a single squat. Is that what you said?
Yeah,
I like that. That's a T-shirt. We'll have to do.
Yeah, a journey of 1,000 kilos begins with a single squat. How about that? Yeah.
Perfect. I like it. One more question for you, Jennifer. If you could go back and give advice to Jennifer on day one of becoming a weightlifter, day one of Barbell Club, you started right at the beginning of the year, mm-hmm. 2022, right at the beginning of a training cycle. We had talked about it in advance to plan it out that way. Is there any advice you would give Jennifer then? You know, a portal opens up by your platform and you're yelling out, Jennifer, tape your thumbs, you know, like anything, you know, what would it be?
Yeah, I probably would have started taping my thumbs earlier. That is definitely one. But, you know, I think that I definitely would tell myself that I think that the big, yeah, no, I be, you know, I, You know, I think what I would say is just to, I think I would give, you know, sort of early 2022, Jennifer, the advice that it's probably not a good idea to get ahead of yourself in expecting certain numbers of certain progress at a certain time. You know, it's very good and it's important to have goals, right? You know, that's how we kind of, you know, build success in our life and in a, as athletes in general, is, you know, we have goals of, you know, things we can work for. But I also realize in hindsight that, you know, sometimes when I would think to myself in those early days of, oh, you know, well, it'd be really cool if I could hit this weight by this time, you know, and just kind of have these like informal goals in my head, you know, a lot of the time that was maybe sort of a little bit, maybe a little bit overly optimistic, or even just, you know, maybe not the best way to set myself up of thinking about it, because, you know, that, you know, when you set goals that aren't realistic, you know, in your head, that tends to breed the potential for disappointment, you know, which is, and that those disappointments, you know, while they're inevitable, well, they're certainly like they're part of the highs and lows, you know, of being an athlete. You know, if you set yourself up for them too much, you know, it tends to sap your will, right? You know,
yeah.
So
like if you're like, all right, I'd say I'm that overall, my 60 advice next
would be
week
that the goal should be.
Oh, continue.
Right, exactly. And then you're not snatching 60 next week and you think, well, this sucks. You know, I'm not doing as well as I thought I would. You know, I'm behind where I thought I was going to be. And so I think a better way to go about it is for the goal to be better and for the goal to be progress, but that to understand that sometimes progress is slow and incremental. And sometimes, you know, and this has been, you know, even true for me the last several months as well, as, you know, sometimes progress is you grind out the ugly 1 kilo PRs, right? You know, and that's, but the ugly 1 kilo PRs is, can be mentally the difference between feeling like you really took something away from the day and feeling really bummed out and frustrated. So, you know, to constantly be making progress of some kind is probably a better goal than trying to set these like bars for yourself of like, oh, this many kilos at this meet or this many kilos by this time.
I think that's fantastic advice. You know, I do remember those early days where we were kind of dealing with CrossFit benchmarks and CrossFit numbers, and you were looking at those and wanting to expand upon those, but also it was different over there in terms of the way we were approaching the lifts, how they were popping up in Metcons versus two or three or one at a time in this training. And now we have kilos involved, and it was just all very different. And so I do remember that. Luckily, it wasn't a time period that lasted long, you know, and it was like, all right, I've snatched 52 kilos in CrossFit, but I haven't done it over here yet. And I expect to be able to do it over here, even though it was a little different over there, you know. So we moved past that pretty quick. And I think we're in a good space now where I don't think anyone on the team really sets numbers on, I want to do this weight by the end of the year type of goals, because it's not guaranteed. And then what happens at the end of the year when you don't hit it, then does that mean it was a waste of a year? No, you know, look at all the other little bits of progress that we made. It's like, let's say if you were like, all right, I'm going to clean and jerk 100 by the end of this year in 2023, and you don't, but you clean jerk 99. Well, that's good too, you know, but some people might look at that as a failure versus I didn't hit the specific number I put on the paper or the board. So I think it's definitely a healthier mindset for everyone to be in.
You know, I also think too that, like, you know, sometimes people set these goals for themselves because they have an overall sense of, like, you know, the downside of being an adult athlete is, you know, there's a sense in which you sort of like you get this anxiety about, you know, your age sometimes, and you think, oh well, like you know, clock's ticking, you know, I got however many years to accomplish something, you know, and you certainly don't feel that when you're 18, because when you're 18, getting older is purely a plus, right? You know, you're like, wow, you know, I get stronger and I get more athletic as I get older, and, you know, everything is just on the up and up. And, you know, as an adult, you know, even if, you know, you're not anywhere close to being at an age where your athletic performance is declining, and even if you're still making progress, you know, you've kind of hit a point where you're like, well, you know, at some point, you know, day's going to come where it's all going to be downhill from there, and I'm going to be, you know, a decrepit wreck, and then I won't be athletically accomplished anymore. And I kind of realized that, you know, that's not really a very good mindset to have for several reasons. And I think, first of all, it's not like, you know, people don't turn 35 and, like, you know, suddenly, you know, a switch flips, you know, and, you know, then, you know, all their strength leaves them, right? You know, and of course, there's a reason that masters weightlifting is popular, and that's because, you know, people keep at it. And many people enter the sport, you know, when they're in their 40s or 50s, however long, you know. And I think it's more just that, like, you know, it's a much more positive mindset to be like, okay, well, you know, I'm gonna look to make progress and, you know, be the best athlete that I can be, you know, regardless of what that looks like at any of my life stages, right? You know, and obviously if you take that a little bit more outlook, then, you know, I think it helps, you know, get rid of that little sort of, you know, anxiety about, oh no, you know, next year I'm going to be 30, and then I'm going to be 31, and then it'll just be, and then, like, you know, it's very unfortunate to box yourself in like that, you know?
Yeah. You're setting a ceiling on everything that you could possibly accomplish. And it's not like you turn 35 and your knees instantly hurt. Although maybe there is a future to that. Just a little bit.
I mean, again, and like, you know, that's something that I've just kind of had grappled with a little bit of anxiety about, because, like, okay, you know, I just turned 29, you know, and then that means in a year I'm going to turn 30. And, like, you know, 30 seems like this, you know, like the sea change of, you know, suddenly everything's going to be different. And, like, I increasingly realize that that's really very silly, right? You know, yeah. But we build up these kind of boxes for ourselves.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to get a letter, like, more bills in the mail, and you're like, why am I getting, and then you see the fine print and it just says, well, because you're 30 now, like, you get these charges now. It's like, it doesn't happen that way.
Right. Exactly. Right.
You can still live your life. You could still be Jennifer or whoever it is that's listening. Just, you're still the same you when the day changes.
Right.
And I think overall, like not only having that anxiety on, you know, I'm setting these expectations up for myself, but another pitfall people get into is looking around at what everybody else is doing and not understanding how long it took them to get to where they are.
Yeah.
And you're still on day one, week one, month one, year one. And it's like, okay, even though you're of the same age, same weight class, whatever it may be, they still have that time under their belt, and you're just starting to accumulate that time. And that's another thing that, like, in this whole kind of conversation, people can fall into that pitfall of, you know, I'll use my own quote, comparison is the thief of joy. And you start to look at what everybody else is doing, and social media definitely adds to that, you know. Hopefully with all the videos that we post, we're not causing anybody, you know, any turmoil on, like, why aren't
totally
I
looking
as much as they are.
Well, I definitely think that I'm glad you mentioned the social media, because especially these days, it's, like, so easy to, like, even accidentally, like, you can't look at Instagram without seeing somebody who's stronger than you, right? You know, and, you know, it's like, I can't scroll Instagram at all without seeing somebody who is, you know, 15 kilos lighter than me, right? You know, and putting up more weight, right? You know. And like, at some point you just have to accept that, like, you know, yeah, again, like there's the comparison is the thief of joy. And it's like, well, okay, but you know, I kind of like, you know, I didn't really think that I was going to be, you know, a national team athlete when I started doing this, right? You know, like I, you know, there was no, I don't think it was ever like any sort of realistic expectation that that was something that was going to occur. So kind of silly to compare myself to those people, right? You know, and so it's, you know, again, like, you know, it's, and if you do so much of that, it really, it saps your ability to get your own enjoyment, and it saps your ability to make progress. And because again, you know, it, you know, sucks your will away, because you're like, oh, well, you know, why am I training when I'm never going to be as good as this person? Like, you know, like,
and you might start beating yourself up, right? Over every little thing in training. Oh, I didn't pull that one correctly, you know, and I had to take a step forward. Yeah. So you didn't even miss the lift. You just didn't do it as aesthetically pleasing or technically proficient as you would have liked. But now you're going to beat yourself up over that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's good thing to think about. And that's great advice if we were to go, be able to go back in time. Well, Jennifer, thank you for coming on today. Where can people follow you? They can definitely see a lot of your lifts on the Albany CrossFit Barbell Club Instagram page. I'm not sure how active you are on the rest of social media with your own stuff.
Well, I definitely wouldn't say I'm sort of a big poster, but people can find me on Instagram at micrograms per kilogram, separated by underscores.
That's a lot of grams.
I was very pleased. Yes, I was very pleased with myself for coming up for that one. With coming up for that one, because many certain medications are dosed according to body weight, and so you have micrograms per kilogram.
That's cool. I was wondering what the origin was behind that. Micrograms per kilograms on Instagram.
Yes.